This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, before we start each episode of the PowerCast, you never know what we're going to be talking about and what leads us to the opening of the show. So Randall and I are comparing our internet speeds, and our guest this week, John Olson, was telling us he's getting pretty good speed too. And I guess a lot of people, most people in the U.S. and Canada get at least adequate internet speeds, although millions and millions of people in the U.S. have no access to high-speed internet. And this is 2019, which is strange. But we won't get into it. I guess they need satellite internet if they have a clear view to the satellite. You know how that works. Anyway, we, you know, have had just some great, great episodes of the PowerCast week after week. And last week we had David Halperin. And David, of course, has not a unique view of UFOs, but one that goes against the ET grain, that it's the collective unconscious. Basically echoing the book by the late Carl Jung around 1960 or so. But were you convinced, Randall, that maybe you should look less at ET?
Well, what I really like about David is that he's got his own unique approach, and it's very constructive, and it's quite academic, it's intelligent, and it's worth listening to. I think it represents a particular niche of the field of ufology. I don't think that it's a wide enough view to really fully appreciate the field. But it's certainly a valuable one, and I think that anyone that takes the time to listen to what he has to say with an open mind can't help but come away thinking, because that's what it does, is he makes you think.
And he knows whereof he speaks in a lot of areas, because he is a retired religious scholar specializing in Judaic studies. So when we had him on the show with Eric von Daniken, he's systematically dissecting what von Daniken says, using his knowledge of scripture to back him up. And he does it in a very quiet, gentle way.
Yes, he's so respectful. And he's not out to put anybody down or, you know, say, oh, well, you know, people who believe that there are actually flying saucers or tinfoil hat wearing nutcases. He's very respectful of people in the field, because he does believe that the phenomena is real. And the experience is real to the experiencer. But he really hesitates to go beyond that to say that the stimulus for the experience is something objectively real and separate from the individual, as in, say, a nuts and bolts craft of some kind. He just goes, no, I don't know about that. But these people are definitely having some sort of real experience, and they seem to be reflecting the mythology that he specializes in, which is Middle Eastern ancient religious philosophy, generally Judeo-Christian, Jewish type stuff.
Let me bring John Olson into the discussion, because you got started, John, really at age 8, you began to realize strange things were going on. Did you ever consider anything like what David Halperin is suggesting, especially with regard to UFOs, collective unconscious?
You know, as I've interviewed people, no matter what the genre of paranormal that their belief falls into or their story, I like to just listen to their story, listen with an open ear, and understand that their experience, whatever it was, is real to them. I know listening to the previous podcast, he talked about how if you have somebody that saw something and they believe it, and then you tell them, oh, but it didn't really happen. When he was talking about sleep paralysis. He was kind of talking about that a little bit. And it's kind of the same thing when I approach these. When I interview somebody and I'm trying to decide whether to use the story or not, it's not whether I believe it's possible, but when I'm interviewing the person and do I believe what they're telling me in their heart. And I think that kind of goes along with that a little bit.
Point being here is, as far as they're concerned, they're reporting something that actually happened to them. Now, John, I was interested in looking over your bio that you first became interested in a wider world, as it were, at age 8, which is kind of sort of before I got interested at age 11. Tell us how that began.
So I grew up in a small town in northern Utah. And the home that I grew up in was 100 years old at the time. It's over 100 years now. It was built in the early 1880s. By the time I was 8 years old, I have a sister that's 4 years older than me and a brother that's a year younger. We came together and we're like, you know, we're having experiences that I know don't go on in our friends' houses. And it got me really interested in the paranormal, especially the fact that, you know, when we went to my parents, their whole thing was, you know, don't talk about it outside of the house. We don't want people to think we're crazy, you know. And in fact, for a long time, my dad's, you know, toe the line of the house is not haunted, you guys. It's not haunted. So because I wasn't able to talk about it outside of the home, I went to the library. I found everything I could about the paranormal, and it opened me up not just to ghosts and things that were happening in the home, but to UFOs and Bigfoot and anything I could get my hands on. So, yeah, by the time I was 8 and I, you know, was reading, that was all I wanted to read was stuff from the paranormal. And I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you do, my favorite show as a kid was In Search Of. And, you know, when that was on, I could just watch it over and over again because of the things that I was experiencing, I wanted to, you know, open up the world to me of other experiences that were going on.
Did that make you less inclined to keep the secret within your family, seeing that other people were having the same things happening to them?
Well, what happened was I wanted to be respectful to my parents, so I really didn't talk about it for a long time. And then once I became a teenager and I had friends over at the house, I remember, for example, one of the first things I remember as a kid is there's a really steep set of staircases that go from the main floor to the second floor. And even as a small kid, I remember hearing bootsteps running up the stairs or down the stairs or even smaller feet, kids' feet running up the stairs, and nobody would be there. And we kind of coined the term, me and my brother and sister, the stair monster, because when you're little, that's kind of what, you know, you make up words to explain your world. When I was a teenager, I remember one time I was upstairs with a friend of mine and we were studying for school, and all of a sudden she threw her book down on the floor and just looked at me, and I looked up and I said, what's the matter? And she said, what was that? And I'm like, well, what was what? And she said, we've been up here for a half an hour, and in that time somebody that I can't see has run up the stairs twice. And I kind of chuckled, and I finally had to admit, well, you know, I live in a haunted house. From that time on, some of my other friends would have experiences in the house too, and I had to admit. From then on, when I would go to a party or go on double dates, inevitably one of my friends would say, hey, John's got some great scary stories about his house. He grew up in a haunted house. And so I would tell the stories. And then people started coming to me after the fact, not in front of anybody else, but come back and say, you know, I had a paranormal experience. By the time I was 18, I was interviewing people and collecting the stories. I knew I wanted to write a book someday, at least one book. And so that's how it all kind of started for me.
At this point, I assume your parents realized that you were speaking of it outside the family unit.
Yes. Slowly over time, they've come to accept it. At first accept it and then finally open up to it. My parents still live in the house. I go visit and they still have experiences. Now my dad will call me the day after and say, oh, I got to tell you what happened. Or my mother will tell me when I'm over the experience that they're having. At first, I was nervous when I wrote my first book, because then the cat's officially out of the bag, you know.
You know, let's do our break here, John. And we'll get into this. Really, really happy you have a, what seems to be a real close family there. We've got more to come with Gene, Randall, and John. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com. SuperTea.com, 818-984-6100, ShopSuperTea.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Our guest is John Olson, focusing on paranormal events. in the western part of the United States. And he's telling us here that he grew up in a haunted house. His parents still live there, still having the experiences, but it wasn't enough, John, to scare them out.
It wasn't, no. I've had a lot of people ask me, especially in the paranormal realm, they're like, well, why didn't you have your house cleaned? Why didn't you try and do something to get rid of it? And it was, oddly enough, by the time, you know, I was a teenager, it was just part of the house. For at least me and my older sister, it was kind of a cool thing that went on every once in a while. There would be, you know, a couple weeks where it was really active, and then it goes a couple months with nothing, and it kind of became part of the family. Interestingly enough, if I can share a story that happened to me in the house, when I was in eighth grade, I came home from school and my mother was gone. And so I made myself a sandwich in the kitchen and I went into the front room to watch television. I sat down, and before I could turn the TV on, I caught something out of the corner of my eye, and I looked, and here is a gentleman standing, tall, skinny. He had a white shirt on and overalls and a wide-brimmed hat, but I couldn't see his facial features because it was mostly see-through. And he walked in and sat in the rocking chair across from me and started rocking in the rocking chair. That was one of the only times I was actually afraid. I closed my eyes. When I opened them again, he had gone. The rocking chair rocked for a little bit more and then stopped. But later on, when my grandmother passed away, and the house has been in my family since near 1900, and when my grandmother passed away, we were going through the old photo albums, and I flipped a page, and I almost fell out of my chair because there was my house that I'd grown up in and a gentleman standing in front of it in overalls and a white shirt and a wide-brimmed hat, tall, skinny, and I knew that was the person I had seen. And come to find out, it was a distant uncle that had owned it during the 20s and raised a family there and passed away there. So in a lot of ways, you know, we think of it as family, which sounds really strange to a lot of people, because a lot of people, paranormal, especially ghosts, can be a very scary thing, but we've always felt like it was part of the family.
So I take it your family goes back in this country many generations.
It does, especially in this area. On my father's side, I can trace back to the original pioneers that came and settled the valley that I grew up in, which is Cache Valley. Yeah, I can trace them back quite a ways.
How old were you when you saw this apparition then?
So I was in eighth grade, so that would have been about, what, 13, 14, something like that.
Okay, so this all started even earlier than that.
Yes.
So this for you then must have just seemed like a normal part of life. You didn't come into it as a skeptic in your later years and then all of a sudden have an experience and become transformed. You just kind of grew up thinking, well, this is just part of a normal thing in life.
Yeah, I did. Other than, you know, not being able to share it because of the fear that my parents had that people would think we were crazy. It was very normal growing up, the different things that happened. I've had so many experiences in that house throughout my life that it still gets me excited when something happens, of course, because of, you know, my writing and because I'm so into it. But yeah, it's very much been a part of my life.
But we're not talking about the same type of thing like, say, the Amityville Horror. This sounds more like just maybe like a Beetlejuice type of thing where you have some interesting characters that are part of the story, but they're not out to terrify you.
No, and it's funny. It has such a playful kind of feeling to it. It really likes to I don't want to say pick on people, but it has a mischievous feel to it. I'll give you an example. A couple years ago, my dad had his knee replaced. And because of that, he had to sleep in his recliner in the front room. And he told me that it liked to, on occasion when he was almost asleep, it would come up behind him and then whistle like you were calling the cattle with the two fingers in your ear really loud and make him jump. And then he would hear a laugh and it would almost run out of the room. He could almost hear it run out of the room. So it has, you know, not malevolent. It's not evil, but definitely likes to play pranks on people.
Mischievous. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So have you guys got any photos or videos or recordings? I mean, with all this going on for all these years, have you got any evidence?
My sister, she turned to having a paranormal group because of this for a while. And I also have had friends come in from paranormal groups to try and gather some evidence. But it almost seems like it doesn't want to perform for people when they're there. We've caught a few things. I know my son and I, one time when my parents are gone on vacation, it seems to act up quite a bit. And we've tried recordings and got a few things here and there, a few sounds, but nothing on video. And except for one time my son, when he was younger, we were over visiting my parents and I had a new video camera and I was recording him. And we heard a voice, when I heard it back, that was in German, say something about the house. It almost sounds like "Geh in die Haus," which is German for "get out of the house," but almost in a playful sound. But other than that, we haven't caught a lot that's on recording or video.
The history of the house, what do you know about it? It's 100 years old, you said. This has been in your family that full time?
Not quite the full time. When it was built in the 1880s, it was built by the railroad. Originally, when the railroad crossed the West, how the United States paid for the railroad was they parceled off land and gave it to the railroad. And then the railroad would build or sell to farmers, and that's how they made their money eventually. And it was originally built by the railroad, and then a few years later it was purchased by a family that had it till near 1910, which is when my great-great uncle purchased it, and they lived in it for quite a while, raised a family. There was a few more people that had it in the family. And then it sat empty for about 8 years until my parents purchased it in the late 60s. And then it's been, my parents have been there since then.
It's amazing that one family, generation to generation, can live in a single home. We don't see that so much, we people from Brooklyn and other places, where we had that situation when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That my grandparents owned this house, and their son and one of their daughters lived there for a number of years. But then that kind of faded out, and then everybody became distant, far and far away. We'll get into more of John Olson's personal experiences and his desire to investigate and write about strange phenomena in the West. And we'll see what area that encompasses. Just want to remind you folks that if you want to get the best experience with the Paracast, join the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. We offer you a version of this show free of the network ads and the After the Paracast podcast, where you never, and we never, know what's going to happen next. More to come. John, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Roofs were torn apart as Dorian made landfall near Sambo Creek in Nova Scotia. It came ashore on North Carolina's Outer Banks knocking out power and flooding Ocracoke Island, spinning off tornadoes that hit a number of homes, including Jason Sawyer's on Emerald Isle. He tells WREL he saw what happened to his Ring camera.
We knew it was bad. We didn't realize how bad, but, you know, catching that sound of the tornado hitting us was pretty humbling.
In the Bahamas, hundreds of people are trying to get off Abaco Island after Dorian flattened entire towns. People say there is no water and no power. Prime Minister Hubert Minnis.
I only want you to be patient. We can't move all of you at one time. But the boats will be coming in.
Thousands of people in the Bahamas are still missing. This is USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, how do you keep a house, John Olson, in good condition for over 100 years at a time where these days, a house that's 10 years old may be breaking apart?
Well, since my parents moved in, they've done a lot of renovation and some adding on to it as well. I've helped, you know, even growing up, I helped my dad. He was a carpenter and a machinist, and so he did a lot of the work himself. So they've kept up on it and replacing things and moving on, but it's a really, you know, very good-looking house. But like I said, there's things like, for example, those stairs that I talked about would never pass code now because they're so steep, but they're grandfathered in, obviously, because the house is so old, but it's been kept up pretty well.
Just as a quick aside here, going back to when you were saying that one of the shows you really enjoyed was In Search Of. Now, one of the things I like to ask anybody who remembers that show is if they remember the UFO episode, where they had the film of the UFO going down into an archaeological dig.
You know, I don't remember that one, and I know that I'm sure that I've seen it before, but I don't remember that right off the top of my head, no.
Yeah, okay, that's okay. It's just sort of a poll question that I'm putting out there to try and solve another mystery about In Search Of itself.
Oh,
so,
gotcha.
Yeah, so anyone who's seen it, it's like, okay, you know, if I can find anybody else who's seen that, that would be amazing. On your website here at StrangerBridgerland.com, I can see you've got some really quite beautiful photos of it. Looks like the region with some old buildings on there, and I'm assuming, well, of course, that can't be your house because these are looking pretty old.
Right.
Are these haunted places as well?
In the area that I live, there's it's very rural. it's starting to grow quite a bit. But there's a lot of these old buildings like that, and I actually just love to take pictures of those. I don't have any stories particular of those individual ones. I just thought that went well with the theme of the website and the books.
Yeah, they're really quite beautiful. I think you could make those into a calendar or something.
Right, yeah, I was thinking that myself.
All right, back to where did we leave off then? When you were 13, you saw an apparition. Mm-hmm. It seems to be a family thing that is happening with your house. It's still going on today.
Yes.
And have you got any plans to do any more investigation into it or try to get some more objective evidence of some kind?
Mostly it's just still gathering stories and gathering my own stories that I have experiences in the house as well. For example, I'll give you an example. Only a couple weeks ago, I went over to see my parents and they happened to not be home at the time. And I walked in the back door. Just out of habit, I yelled out, "Hey, I'm home." And a voice from the front room called out, "We're in here." And I thought that was strange because the car was gone. So I walked into the front room, and sure enough, nobody's there, and the TV's off. So I sat down and started reading. I had my book with me, so I was reading. And after a few minutes, I heard the back door open and close, and I heard what sounded like my father's voice say, "We're home." And so I got up and walked into the kitchen, and sure enough, nobody's there. The car's not back. And I kind of laughed and I said, "Oh, you got me again." I went into the front room and sat down. And after a little while, again, the back door opened and I heard my dad call out, "We're home." And I just sat where I was. And eventually my dad did walk into the front room and he's like, "Didn't you hear me?" And I said, "Yeah, but I didn't think it was you." And I had to explain to him what I had heard. So, you know, I don't know if I have had people ask to investigate the home, and I have let close friends do it. And like I said, they have a hard time finding things that happen there. My parents are okay with me telling the story. They've mentioned several times they're not okay if I give out the address, obviously, or where it is specifically. But I'm just kind of enjoying the fact that it's still going on after all of these years. And I'm still gathering stories both from my parents and even my children have had experiences at Grandma and Grandpa's house. So
that's pretty amazing. But I guess that's now you're talking about the whole area there in the Cache Valley. Mm-hmm. And so your experiences in your home aren't the only strange things that go on around there, are they?
No, it's interesting because as I gather stories and interview people, I'm kind of partial to this area because this is where I've grown up. But the more that after my first book came out and my second book, it's amazing how far out and how many people have had paranormal experiences throughout the Western United States and I imagine throughout even further reaches, and just how I'm kind of amazed at the day and age that we live now with the things that are on the television about the paranormal and shows like your guys' show, I think empowers people to feel okay with sharing their experiences, which has definitely helped me in gathering more stories.
Now, let's talk about your house quickly. I assume you live in a much newer residence yourself and your family.
Yes, I have a newer home. I'm a couple towns over. I'm about 30 miles away now, but actually more rural than what I grew up. But yeah, in a much newer home.
Would it be personal to ask what your day job is?
No, that's not at all. So currently, I work for Cache Valley Transit District. I work with the paratransit, which is helping people with disabilities get from place to place. And then I'm also a full-time student currently as well. So I went back to finish my degree. So that's between that and writing the book and doing everything, I keep pretty busy.
Certainly sounds like it. Certainly sounds like it. What kind of degree are you trying to get?
So I'm trying to finish my business degree with an emphasis in IT, which, you know, right up your alley. But yeah, so that's what I'm hoping to do.
Well, you keep at it. In your studies of the paranormal, how wide a net do you cast?
You know, with my books, I've had people contact me with all different things. I have, of course, ghost stories. I have UFO stories, Bigfoot stories. cryptid stories. And then I have a section which I call Glitches in the Matrix, which are stories that may not necessarily fall under the other categories, things that false memories or doppelgangers, things like that.
False memories, in what sense?
So I'll share a story out of my new book to give you an example. This one, I loved this story. I was able to interview this gentleman over the phone. He contacted me, and he said that he had an extremely strange story that he wanted to share with me. And he told me he grew up in a small town in Colorado and graduated from high school in the 90s. And at that time, right after high school, he traveled for his church for 2 years to South America to do some work. And then at that time, you know, there wasn't email or, you know, he wasn't able to call because of where he was. So he didn't keep up real well with, you know, things at home. But when he got home after the 2 years, his plan was to work for the summer and then leave for school. So he was working in the summer and he got called out. He was doing some repair work and got called out to a home. And when he got to the address, he was like, "Oh, I recognize this house. I know this house." And he went in and it was one of his friends from high school. Her name was Diana. And there was an older woman there and he started working in and he asked her, he said, "I think my friend used to live here in high school." And she said, "Oh, I just purchased this home from a family. They had lost their daughter. She passed away and they had moved away." And he was, you know, kind of dumbfounded because, you know, he was really good friends with Diana. So he went and looked up her obituary and sure enough, she had passed away from appendicitis. And he even went to the cemetery and saw her grave and was very sad about it. He went off to school, you know, fast forward, got a job, got married. And 1 year he came home for Thanksgiving. This was in the early 2000s. And his mother, they were getting ready for Thanksgiving dinner. And his mother said, "You know, I forgot the whipped cream. Will you run to the store?"
Let's break right there at the whipped cream. We'll find out what happened then. More to come with John, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, whipped cream.
whipped cream,
and other delights. It was an album by that name, right?
Yeah, Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. That was awesome.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Oh, so anyway, he went to the store to get the whipped cream, and it was kind of crowded, the little grocery store, and he found the whipped cream, and he's walking towards the cash register and come around the corner and runs into a shopping cart, and he looks up and is dumbfounded to be looking directly into Diana's face, his friend from high school. And he was just really trying to figure out what was going on, and she said, "Oh, hey, I haven't seen you forever." And they were talking. She had a little boy in the cart with her son. And he said, "Now," he's like, "I thought you were really sick out of high school." And she goes, "Oh, yeah, the year after I had appendicitis, it burst, and I almost died." And so after he talked to her, he dropped the whipped cream, drove directly to the cemetery, and her headstone was gone. Everything that he remembers as being fact back in the day is now changed. She's alive. She didn't die. And it was a very strange experience for him. He had shared the story with his wife and a few people, but the facts now do not match his memory of what he remembers happening.
So, and that includes like seeing her gravestone in a cemetery?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
He remembers reading her obituary, seeing her headstone, and now she is alive and well. So,
okay, we're talking Mandela effect here.
Right. That's what I assume, too, a personal Mandela effect, kind of a thing where somehow it doesn't match. His memory does not match the facts anymore. So
I think stuff like that really does happen. I'm one of those people who remember him dying in jail. And then when he got out, it was like, is this an imposter? Or how about you? What's your perspective? Do you remember one or both? Or
yeah, there's several of them I've read about that I remember. The Berenstain or Berenstain Bears, I remember being different. I remember having the book as a child. I don't remember the Mandela one in particular, but there are other ones that I definitely remember being different. One that I found a few people with the same memory, but when Jason Lee died filming The Crow, I remember as a kid and reading all about, or being older and reading all about, that the big deal was that he had died the same way his father had died, that his father had died being shot with a blank that didn't have that had something shoved in the front of it, and that's how he died. Well, I was shocked when I found out later that no, in fact, he died of, I believe it was an infection or something completely different. But I remember when Jason Lee had died, that the big deal was that he had died exactly the same as his father had, in the same way. I definitely believe there's something going on there. What it is, I'm not sure. You know, whether it's a multi-universe or whatever it is, it's
yeah, we'll have to get strange. Talking about, you know, maybe some theories on how to explain all of this. How about the, were you ever a James Bond fan? Like, do you remember the film like Spy Who Loved Me with Jaws, you know, the character?
Yes.
And then there was Dolly, and mm-hmm. Jaws had he could clamp down and like bite through cables.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lot of people who remember Dolly with braces.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember it that way too. And,
okay.
And that was the connection that they had, because, you know, he smiles, he's got the jaws, and then she smiles, she has braces, and
right.
That's how they connected, and now her braces are gone. Yeah, that's very strange.
Isn't that weird? Okay, so you remember it that way too, so do I.
Mm-hmm.
And the actor who actually played Jaws also remembered her having braces and said so before he died.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. That's
yeah.
very strange. That was one that I brought up to my dad, because he's a huge James Bond fan, and he loved that. And I asked him, when I heard about this Mandela effect, I came to him and I said, do you remember this in this movie, and Jaws meets the girl? And he says, yeah, and she smiles, and she's got braces. He remembers it that way as well, so it's very strange.
He was 7'2", Richard Keel.
Yeah, he was a big guy.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it, because those two films, Moonraker and The Spy Who Loved Me, were not my favorites. I thought they were silly, they were goofy. I was not a fan of Roger Moore at all.
Yeah.
You know, as a saint, he was okay. That was the character that he was best suited for. Not James Bond, not the action hero. But I do remember that Jaws' girlfriend had the braces, because that was the shtick.
Yeah.
It was very important for her to look in one way like him.
Like, I don't really remember much of the rest of the movie, actually.
No.
You're not missing anything.
I remember Jaws biting through the cable car cable, you know?
Like, yeah.
And the boat chase, I think, too. Yeah, okay, so, but there's other stuff besides that as well. I mean, this is really cool, and we can come back to it, but there's also stuff like Bigfoot. I think I ran across something in one of your pages there, and it looked like a footprint. It looked like a Bigfoot footprint.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that it, going all the way back to the beginning of the show here with David Halperin, it's like, well, okay, we have UFOs on radar. It's kind of hard for, you know, to think that if there's a footprint there, that it's just a psychic phenomena.
Right. And what's interesting about Bigfoot is, you know, people ask me all the time, they're like, well, you know, we should have found something. Do you really, really believe in Bigfoot? And my dream is someday to see something like that. Now, I have not seen him myself, but I've interviewed enough people and done enough study to know that there is something there. And like you say, they have footprints, and some physical evidence. But I go back to Native American lore, and when they talk about Bigfoot or they talk about some of their other creatures, it's hard for us to wrap our mind around, because in their beliefs, it's both a physical creature and a spiritual creature, and that's how they're able to move or disappear or anything like that. And so, as you know, if you use science towards something like that, you wonder if it's a multidimensional creature, kind of, you know, like we're talking about the Mandela effect, things change. Is it a multidimensional creature? Is it able to be physically here but then disappear? Or, you know, what exactly is it that is part of it? And I kind of love that part of Bigfoot or UFOs, or, you know, the fact that we don't know. Just because we don't know right now doesn't mean that there isn't an explanation for it. because the things that we thought were impossible at one point are no longer impossible. We just have to keep our mind open to the fact that it could be something very strange to us now, but we might understand later on.
Do you look at it in terms of UFOs in the ETH theory, extraterrestrial hypothesis, that they are visitors from other planets or something else?
I try and keep my mind open about it. Of all, you know, all the stories and people that I've interviewed, I've never interviewed somebody who has seen an extraterrestrial, just the vehicles. And so, you know, but I am definitely open to that. I believe that if we think that we're the only ones in the universe, that's very arrogant of us in this great big wide world. And when I hear scientists say, well, it can't be extraterrestrials because there's no way they could travel that far that fast, again, I go back to, I remember I read an article about the person who was in charge of the patent office near 1890, who wrote a letter saying we should close the patent office because everything that's been invented has already been invented. It's just because it's not in our wheelhouse right now doesn't mean that the possibility of traveling vast distances isn't an actual, you know, reality for other aliens or whoever it is.
Well, I always wonder here, true, if E.T. was here and has been here so long, why the cat and mouse game? Why can't they just sit back and say, hi, guys, we right. are them? But then again, you have the scenes in Earth versus the Flying Saucers. And a similar scene also in Man of Steel, where the alien, right. in the case of the attackers, E.T. and Earth versus the Flying Saucers and General Zod in Man of Steel, they communicate by taking over the transmissions
mm-hmm.
of the entire planet and speaking in the local language. To them, it's easy.
Right.
That's
right.
just part of their technology. So we assume if ET is that far advanced, maybe they could, if they wanted to, take mm-hmm. over our transmissions, hack them, whatever it takes, and present their message. How could you dispute that? How would you dispute that? By the way, Jack Nicholson did that in the first Batman with the local TV. Anyway, we got more to come with John, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.